Good night, Anna. I love you. Good night, Christian. I hang up before she can, thinking about all those times we've stayed on the line and neither of us hangs up. I couldn't bear to hear her end the call first. I stare despondently at my phone. At least she asked if I was coming home. Perhaps she misses me, or she's checking up on me. Either way, she cares, maybe. A small ember of hope glows deep in my heart. I need to wrap this meeting up and get home to my wife. It's late when we agree on a potential compromise. With hindsight, I see that confrontation with the union was inevitable, but it's been good for all sides to air their grievances. Samir and Roz will now take the negotiations from here and hammer out a deal. Compared to the battle I'm facing at home, this wasn't so bad. Roz was an impressive negotiator, and I've persuaded her to go to Taiwan tomorrow evening without me. Okay, Christian, I'll go, but they'll really want you there. I'll find time, later this month. Her lips tighten, but she says nothing. I can't tell her that I don't want to leave Anna when she's not even talking to me. Deep down, I know it's because I'm petrified my wife might not be there when I return. The apartment is dark when I get home. Anna must be in bed. I head into our bedroom, and my heart sinks when I find she's not there. Stifling my panic, I head upstairs. In the dim light from the hallway, I make out her form curled up beneath the duvet in her old bedroom. Old bedroom? It's hardly that. She's slept in it, what, twice? She looks so small. I flick the dimmer switch on to see her better, but keep the lights low and carry the armchair over so I can sit down and gaze at her. Her skin is pale, translucent, almost. She's been crying. Her eyelids and lips are swollen. My heart free falls through my body with despair. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I know how soft her lips are to kiss when she's been crying, when I make her cry. I want to climb in beside her, to pull her into my arms and hold her. But she's asleep, and she needs her sleep, especially now. I settle into the chair and match my breathing to Anna's. The rhythm soothes me, that and my proximity to her. For the first time since I woke up this morning, I feel a little calmer. The last time I sat and watched her sleep was when Hyde broke into our apartment. She'd been out with Kate. I was mad as hell then. Why do I spend so much time mad at my wife? I love her, even though she never does as she's told. That's why. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I grimace as Dr. Flynn's oft-quoted serenity prayer pops into my head, a prayer for alcoholics and fucked-up businessmen. I check my watch, though I know it's far too late to call him in New York. I'll try him tomorrow. I can discuss my impending fatherhood with him. I shake my head. Me? A dad? What could I possibly offer a child? I undo my tie and the top button of my shirt as I lean back. I suppose there's the material wealth. At least he won't go hungry. No, not on my fucking watch. Not my child. She says she'll do this on her own. How could she? She's too... And I want to say fragile, because sometimes she looks fragile, but she's not. She's the strongest woman I know, stronger even than Grace. Gazing at her as she lies here, sleeping the sleep of the innocent, I realize what an asshole I was yesterday. She's never backed down from a challenge, ever. She was hurt by what I said and what I did. I see that now. She knew I'd overreact when she told me about the baby. She knows me better than anyone. Did she find out before we were in Portland? I don't think so. She would have told me. She must have found out yesterday, and when she told me, everything turned to shit. My fear took over. How am I going to make it up to her? I'm sorry, Anna. Forgive me. I whisper. You scared the living shit out of me yesterday. Leaning forward, I kiss her forehead. She stirs and frowns.
Christian,
she murmurs, her voice wistful and full of longing. The hope kindled by her earlier call ignites into a fire.
I'm here,
I whisper. But she turns over, sighs, and falls back into a deep slumber. I'm so tempted to strip down and join her, but I don't think I'd be welcome.
I love you, Anastasia Gray. I'll see you in the morning.
Damn, no, I won't. I have to fly to Portland and see the finance committee at WSU in Vancouver. That means leaving early. I place my favorite tie beside her on the pillow so she'll know I've been here. As I do, I recall the first time I tied her hands. The thought travels straight to my cock. I wore it to tease her at her graduation. I wore it at our wedding. I'm a sentimental fool.
Tomorrow, baby,
I whisper.
Sleep well.
I forego the piano, even though I want to play. I don't want to wake her. But as I head alone into our bedroom, I'm more hopeful. She whispered my name.
Yes, there's hope for us yet.
Don't give up on me, Anna. Thursday, September 15th, 2011. It's 5:30 in the morning and I'm in the gym, pounding away on the treadmill. Sleep eluded me last night, and when I did drift off, I was haunted by my dreams. Anna disappearing into the garage at the Heathman without looking back at me. Anna, an enraged siren, holding a thin cane, eyes blazing, wearing nothing but expensive lingerie and leather boots. Her angry words like barbs. Anna lying unmoving on a sticky green rug. I shake off that last image and run harder, pushing my body to its limits. I don't want to feel anything except the pain of my bursting lungs and aching legs. With Bloomberg's rolling business news on the TV and Pump It in my ears, I blot out the world. I blot out thoughts of my wife sleeping soundly two rooms away from me.
Dream of me, Anna. Miss me.
In the shower while I hose off my workout sweat, I contemplate waking her just to say goodbye. I fly to Portland in Charlie Tango this morning, and I'd like a sweet smile to take with me.
Let her sleep, Gray.
And given how pissed she is at me, there's no guarantee of a sweet smile. Mrs. Jones is still giving me the cold shoulder, but I grill her anyway. Did Anna eat last night?
She did.
Mrs. Jones's attention is on the omelet she's preparing for me. I think that's all the information I'm going to get this morning. I sip my coffee and sulk, feeling 50 shades of miserable. In the car on the way to Boeing Field, I write an email to Anna.
Keep it factual, Gray.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 15th, 2011, 6:45, Portland. Anna, I am flying down to Portland today. I have some business to conclude with WSU. I thought you would want to know. Christian Gray, CEO. But I know my real intention in sending an email isn't to inform her, but to get a response. I live in hope. Stefan is on hand to fly us down to Portland. After my sleepless night, I'm dog-tired. If I fall asleep, I'll be more comfortable in the rear, so for the first time ever, I offer Taylor the front passenger seat, remove my jacket, and take a back seat in Charlie Tango. I leaf through the notes I have for the meeting, and once I've done that, I lean back and close my eyes. Anna is running through the meadow at the new house. She's laughing as I chase her. I'm laughing too. I catch her and pull her down into the long grass. She giggles, and I kiss her. Her lips are soft because she's been crying.
No, don't cry, baby, don't cry. Please don't cry.
She closes her eyes. She sleeps. She won't wake.
Anna.
Anna. She's lying on a thread-worn rug, pale, unmoving. Anna. Wake up, Anna. Gasping, I wake, and I'm momentarily disoriented. Wait, I'm in Charlie Tango, and we've just landed in Portland. The rotors are still spinning, and Stefan is talking to the tower. I rub my face to rouse myself and unbuckle my harness. Taylor opens his door and steps out onto the helipad while I don my jacket, careful not to snag the cable of my headphones. Thanks, Stefan, I say over the cans.
No problem, Mr. Gray.
We should be back around 1 this afternoon.
We'll be ready and waiting.
He frowns, his concern evident in the creases across his brow, while Taylor, head down, opens my door. Shit. I hope that concern is not directed at me. I remove my headphones and clamber out to join Taylor. It's a crisp morning, brighter than Seattle, but with a brisk breeze that carries the scent of fall. There's no sign of Joe, the old-timer who's normally here to oversee arrivals and departures. Maybe it's too early in the day, or he's not slated to work this morning, or it's an omen or some shit. For fuck's sake, Gray, pull yourself together. Our driver is waiting outside the helipad building. Taylor opens the door of the Escalade and I slide in. Then he takes the passenger seat up front. With my bad dream about Anna still in mind, I call Sawyer.
Mr. Gray?
Luke, stay close to Mrs. Gray today.
Will do, sir.
Is she having breakfast? I keep my voice low, as I'm a little embarrassed to be asking, but I want to know she's okay.
I believe so, sir. We're leaving in about 15 minutes for the office.
Good, thanks. I hang up and stare morosely out the window at the Willamette River. Its metallic gray waters look chilly as we cross over the steel bridge. I shudder. This is hell. I need to talk to Anna. We can't go on like this. I have one option that might work. Apologize, Gray. Yeah, it's my only option, because I behaved like an asshole. Anna's words come back to me. You need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee and stop behaving like a petulant adolescent. Fuck. She's not wrong. Now is not the time. I have to help the WSU Environmental Science Department nail additional funding from the USDA. It's vital to progress the work that Professor Gravett and her team are undertaking in soil technology. Her work is reaping huge benefits in our test sites in Ghana. This is a game changer. Soil could be a key initiative not only in feeding the planet and alleviating food insecurity and poverty, but also through carbon sequestration, reversing climate change. From my briefcase, I pull out my notes and scan them once more. The meeting has been a resounding success. We've secured an additional $1 million from the USDA. It appears that feeding the world is quite high on the federal government's agenda, too. With the gratitude of Professors Chowdhury and Gravett ringing in my ears, Taylor and I head back to Portland. I check my phone, but there's no word from my wife, not even a snarky response to my email. It's depressing. I'm anxious to get home and find some way to smooth her ruffled feathers, if I can. Maybe a meal out? A movie? Soaring? Sailing? Sex? What can I do? I miss her. The Escalade parks outside the helipad building as Taylor makes a call.
Sawyer, I read your text.
He murmurs, and he has my full attention. Text. Is Anna okay? He frowns as he listens.
Copy.
Taylor's eyes meet mine.
I see. Hold on.
He says to Luke, then addresses me.
Mrs. Gray is feeling unwell. Sawyer is taking her back to the apartment.
Is it serious?
No reason to think so.
Okay, we'll fly straight to Escala.
Yes, sir. Sawyer, we're leaving shortly. We'll divert directly to Escala, land there.
Keep her safe! I shout, loud enough for Sawyer to hear me.
You heard Mr. Gray. Text me if the situation changes.
Taylor hangs up. With a renewed sense of urgency, Taylor and I enter the building, and I'm pleased that the elevator is waiting for us. I hope Anna's okay. And the baby. Maybe I should call my mom, ask her to go over and check on Anna, or Dr. Green, though I'm not sure she'd take my call. It will take us an hour to get home, and I can't wait that long. I try my mother, but there's no phone signal. We're in the elevator. I can't call Anna either. Surely if it were serious, she'd have called me. Damn. I have no idea, given she's not talking to me. The elevator door is open. Charlie Tango is where we left her, and Stefan is waiting at the controls. To hell with this. I'm going to fly her. I can direct my attention to the flight rather than dwell on what's happening at Escala. I hope Anna goes to bed. Our bed. Stefan steps down from the cockpit to greet us. Stefan, hi. I'd like to fly her home. We need a new course for Escala. Yes, sir. He opens the pilot's door for me, and I think he's surprised by the change in my attitude. I climb aboard, buckle up, and begin the final pre-flight checks. All checks done? I ask Stefan as he takes the seat beside me. Just the transponder. Oh, yes, I see. I need to get home to my wife. Taylor, you strapped in? Yes, sir. His disembodied voice is loud and clear in my cans. I radio the tower, and they're ready for us. Right, gentlemen, let's get home. Pulling back the collective, I float Charlie Tango smoothly into the sky and head for Seattle. As we cut through the air at speed, I know I've made the right decision to pilot. I have to focus on keeping us airborne, but deep down, my anxiety continues to gnaw at my insides. I hope Anna's okay. We touch down right on schedule at 2:30.
Good flying, Mr. Gray, Stefan says.
Enjoy taking her back to Boeing Field.
Will do.
He grins. I unbuckle my harness, switch on my phone, and follow Taylor out onto Escala's rooftop. Taylor frowns down at his phone. I halt as he listens to a message.
It's from Sawyer. Mrs. Gray is at the bank.
Taylor raises his voice to be heard over the wind that whips around us on the roof. What? I thought she was ill. What the fuck is she doing at the bank?
Sawyer followed her there. She tried to give him the slip.
Anxiety spirals into my chest, tightening around my heart. My rebooted phone beeps and vibrates with a flood of alerts. There's a text from Andrea, sent 4 minutes ago, and a couple of missed calls from my bank, and one from Welch. What the fuck? Andrea's text reads, Troy Whalen at your bank needs to speak with you urgently. I have Whalen on speed dial. He picks up immediately.
Whalen, it's Christian Gray. What's going on?
I shout over the rush of the wind.
Mr. Gray, good afternoon. Your wife is here requesting to withdraw $5 million.
What? My blood turns to ice.
$5 million?
I can't quite believe what he said. What does she need $5 million for? Fuck, she's leaving me. My world crashes and burns, a cavern of despair opening at my feet.
Yes, sir. As you know, under current banking legislation, I can't cash $5 million. Yes, of course.
I'm in shock, teetering on the brink of the abyss.
Let me talk to Mrs. Gray.
I sound robotic.
Certainly, sir, if you'll hold for a minute.
This is agony. I head to shelter out of the wind, beside the elevator doors, and stand quietly waiting to hear from my wife, dreading to hear from my wife. She's going. She's leaving me. What am I going to do without her? The phone clicks and my panic overwhelms me.
Hi.
Anna's voice is breathy and high-pitched.
You're leaving me?
The words are out before I can stop them.
No,
she rasps, and it sounds like an agonized appeal. Oh, thank fuck. But my relief is short-lived.
Yes,
she whispers, as if she's just made her decision.
What?
Anna, I don't know what to say. I want to beg her to stay.
Christian, please don't.
You're going? You're really going?
Yes.
No. No. No! I free fall, tumbling down into the abyss. Falling, falling, falling. Reaching out, I splay my hand on the wall to support myself. The pain is visceral. Don't leave me. Shit. Was this always going to happen? Did she ever love me? Was it my fucking money? But why the cash? Was it always the money? Tell me it wasn't the money, please. The pain is indescribable. No! She sounds emphatic. Do I believe her? Is it because I saw Elena? For God's sake! And in this moment, I don't think I could loathe Elena more. I breathe deep, trying to get a handle on my thoughts. Is 5 million enough? How will I live without Anna? Yes. And the baby? She'll take our baby away. The knife twists in my soul. I'll take care of the baby. This is what you want? Yes. Her voice is barely audible, but I hear her. The pain is crippling. She wants me off the phone. I can tell. She wants it done. She wants away from me. Take it all. I whisper. Christian. She sobs. It's for you. For your family. Please don't. I can't stand this. Take it all, Anastasia. I snarl and tilt my head back and silently howl at the gray sky above me. Christian! Her desperation is laced through every syllable of my name. I can't bear to hear her. I'll always love you, I murmur, because it's true. They're the last words of a condemned man. I hang up and take a deep, steadying breath, feeling hollow. Nothing more than a husk. I told her that once, in a shower. And then I told her I loved her.
Mr. Gray?
Taylor's trying to attract my attention. Ignoring him, I call Waylon again.
Troy Waylon.
It's Christian Gray. Give my wife the money, whatever she wants.
Mr. Gray, I can't...
I know you hold the reserve for the Pacific Northwest. Just transfer it from the main holding account. Or liquidate some of my assets. I don't care. Give her the money.
Mr. Gray, this is highly irregular. Just fucking do it, Waylon. Find a way or I'll close all the accounts and move GEH's business elsewhere. Understand?
He's silent on the other end of the phone.
We'll sort the fucking paperwork out later,
I add, in a more conciliatory tone.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Just give her whatever she wants.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
I hang up. I want to cry. I want to break down here on the roof and weep, but I can't. I close my eyes and wish that I were here on my own.
Mr. Gray.
Taylor's voice cuts through my pain. I turn to face him, and he blanches.
What?
I snarl.
Hyde has been granted bail. He's free.
I glare at him. What fresh hell is this? Hyde is free? How? I thought we'd dealt with that. Taylor and I eyeball each other, wondering, what the hell?
You're leaving me?
No. It's for you. For your family. Please don't.
Anna.
I whisper. She's trying to withdraw $5 million. Taylor's eyes widen.
Shit,
he says. We reach the same conclusion at the same instant. Whatever the hell she's doing, deep down I know it has something to do with that fucker Hyde. I punch the elevator button as my utter despair congeals into fear. Fear for my wife.
Where's Sawyer?
He's at the bank. He tracked her car.
We leap into the elevator and I jab the button for the garage as Charlie Tango's rotors start again. It's deafening.
You have the car keys?
I shout to Taylor as the doors close.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the bank. Do we know where Hyde is?
No, I'll text Welch.
He left a message. Shit, it must have been the news about Hyde.
The elevator takes forever to descend to the garage. What is Anna playing at? Why can't she tell me if she's in trouble? Fear wraps around my heart and my gut, strangling me from the inside. What could be worse than Anna leaving me? The distressing picture from my earlier dream slips into my head, drawing on older, much older, disturbing memories. A woman lifeless on the floor. I screw my eyes shut. No, please, no.
We'll find her, Taylor says with grim determination.
We have to.
I'll track her cell, he states.
At last, the doors open and Taylor tosses me his Q7 keys. He wants me to drive?
Get a grip, Gray. You have to get your wife out of this mess.
Perhaps that fucker is blackmailing her.
We climb into the car and I switch on the ignition. The tires scream as I reverse out of the space and speed up to the garage entrance, only to wait agonizing seconds for the barrier to rise. Come on, come on, come on, come on!
Barely clearing the barrier, we roar out onto the street in the direction of the bank. Taylor puts his phone on the dash, waiting for a signal, cursing impatiently under his breath.
She's still at the bank, he says eventually.
Good.
The traffic is heavier than I expected. It's frustrating.
Come on, come on, come on!
Why does Anna do this? Keep this shit to herself. Doesn't she trust me? I think about my behavior over the last couple of days. Okay, it hasn't been exemplary by any means. But she takes all this crap on her shoulders. Why can't she ask for help?
Anna Gray!
I shout into the phone's Bluetooth system. After a few moments, her phone starts to ring, and ring, and ring. Then it goes to voicemail. My heart sinks.
Hi, you've reached Anna. I can't take your call right now, but please leave a message after the beep, and I'll call you right back.
Christ!
Anna, what the fuck is going on?
I yell. It feels good to yell.
I'm coming to get you. Call me. Talk to me.
I hang up.
She's still at the bank, Taylor says.
Sawyer's still there?
Yes, sir. Call Sawyer.
I shout into the hands-free, and moments later his cell is ringing.
Mr. Gray?
Where's Anna?
She's just turned around and gone back into one of the offices.
Go get her.
Sir, I'm armed. I can't go through the detectors. I'm standing by the entrance watching Anna, Mrs. Gray, and looking very suspicious. If I go back to the car to stow my gun, I may lose her.
Fucking firearms.
How the hell did she give you the slip?
She's a very resourceful woman, Mr. Gray.
He sounds like he's speaking through gritted teeth, and I recognize his frustration. It makes me feel slightly more sympathetic to him. She drives me crazy, too.
I want a thorough briefing when we have her back. Jack Hyde has been granted bail, and both Taylor and I have a hunch that Anna's actions have something to do with him.
Shit, Luke says.
Exactly. We're about 5 minutes away. Don't let her go again, Sawyer.
Sir.
I hang up. Taylor and I sit in silence as I weave through traffic. What are you up to, Anastasia Gray? What am I going to do to you when I get you back? Various scenarios cross my mind. I shift in my seat. For fuck's sake, Gray, now is not the time.
Taylor startles me. She's on the move.
What?
My heart jumpstarts as adrenaline courses through my body.
She's heading south on 2nd. Call Sawyer!
I shout. Moments later, his cell rings again.
Mr. Gray?
He answers immediately.
She's on the move.
What?
She hasn't come out through the main entrance.
He sounds confused.
She's heading south on 2nd.
Taylor interjects.
I'm on it. I'll call from the car.
Sawyer is obviously running.
She's not in her car. It's still here.
Hell!
I shout.
Still heading south on 2nd, Taylor says. Wait, she's turned left onto Yesler.
We pass my bank. There's no point stopping.
That's 3 blocks?
I ask him.
Yes, sir.
For the billionth time, I thank God Taylor's with me.
He knows the city like the back of his hand, which is odd given he's from some rural town in the middle of nowhere in Texas. 3 minutes later, we're heading east on Yesler.
She's still on Yesler.
Taylor growls, eyes glued to his phone.
She's turned south onto 23rd, that's 8 blocks from here. I'm right behind you.
Sawyer pipes up through the hands-free.
Stay close, I'm going to try and dodge through this traffic.
I glance at Taylor.
I wish you were driving.
You're doing fine, sir.
Where the fuck is she going, and who with? We're silent for several minutes. I focus on the road while Taylor occasionally calls out directions. We head south, then east again, now through mainly residential streets.
She's turned south down 30th.
We follow for a few blocks, then turn east.
It stopped. South Day Street. 2 more blocks.
Dread sits heavy and caustic in my stomach as I race through the back streets. 3 minutes later, I swing onto South Day Street.
Slow down,
Taylor orders, surprising me, but I do as he says.
She's here somewhere.
He leans forward, and we scan each side of the road. There is a row of derelict buildings on my side.
Fuck!
There's a potholed parking lot where a woman is standing with her hands in the air beside a black Dodge. The Dodge! I wrench the wheel and swing into the parking lot, and there she is, on the ground, unmoving, eyes closed.
Anna. My Anna.
No! Everything moves in slow motion as all the air is sucked from my lungs. My worst fear realized, here, now. Taylor is out of the car before I've screeched to a halt. I follow him, leaving the engine running.
Anna!
I shout, please God, please God, please God. She is lifeless on the concrete. In front of her, that fucker Hyde is rolling on the ground, screaming in agony as he clutches his upper leg. Blood seeps through his fingers. The woman steps back, keeping her hands in the air as Taylor draws his gun. But it's Anna who has my whole attention. She's lying unmoving on the cold, hard ground.
No!
This is what I've dreaded since I met her, this moment. I kneel beside her, terrified to touch her. Taylor picks up the gun lying beside her and orders the woman to lie face down on the ground.
Don't shoot me! Don't shoot me!
She gibbers. Shit, that's Elizabeth Morgan from SIP. How the hell is she involved in this clusterfuck? Sawyer is suddenly with us. He draws his gun on Elizabeth and stands guard over her. Hyde screams in agony.
Help me! Help me! The bitch shot me!
We ignore him. Taylor bends and checks the pulse point beneath Anna's jaw.
She's alive, strong pulse.
He says, thank God. Then he barks at Sawyer.
Call 911 now, ambulance and police.
Sawyer reaches for his phone while Taylor quickly and gently runs his hands over Anna, checking for injuries.
I don't think she's bleeding.
Can I touch her?
She may have broken something. Best leave it to the paramedics.
Oh no. My wife, my girl, my beautiful girl. I stroke her hair and gently tuck a strand behind her ear. She looks like she's asleep, though she has a red mark on her face.
Did he fucking hit you? Did he do this to you?
Now my attention turns to Hyde, who's still fucking screaming. A fresh shot of adrenaline-fueled rage streaks through my bloodstream. The fucker. He put his hands on my wife and she shot him. My God, Anna shot him. I stand and move so I tower over him as he writhes on the ground, and before I know what I'm doing, I lean on the Dodge, draw back my leg, and kick him with all my might in his stomach, hard. Twice. 3 times. With all my weight behind each kick. He screams.
You do this to my wife, you fucker!
I bellow my rage and kick him again. He drags his hands up to protect his stomach, and I stamp with all my weight on the seeping wound on his thigh. He screams again, a different, louder, feral cry of agony. Leaning down, I grab the lapels of his jacket and bounce his head off the ground. Once, twice. His eyes are wide and wild with fear as he grips my hands, smearing his blood on me.
I'm going to fucking kill you, you twisted, sick motherfucker!
From the far end of the tunnel, I hear voices.
Mr. Gray! Mr. Gray! Christian! Christian, stop!
It's Taylor. He and Sawyer are pulling me away, pulling me off the vermin that is Hyde. Taylor grabs me by both shoulders and shakes me.
Christian, stop! Now!
He shakes me once more. I blink at him and shrug him off. Don't touch me. Taylor puts himself between Hyde and me, watching me like I'm unhinged, lethal, and ready to strike. I take a breath while the murderous red mist clears. I'm okay, I whisper.
Look after your wife, sir.
Taylor's tone is emphatic. I nod and glance once more at the fucker on the ground. He's rocking gently, sniveling like the weasel turd he is, and clutching his thigh. He's pissed himself, disgusting fuck. Let him bleed to death, I mutter to Taylor and turn away. I kneel beside Anna and lean down to hear her breathing, but I hear nothing. Panic swamps me once more. Is she still breathing? I glance up at Taylor.
Look at her chest, rising and falling.
Taylor leans down again and checks her pulse.
Still strong.
Oh, Anna. What were you thinking? What about the baby? Tears prick my eyes. I loathe this feeling of helplessness. I want to fold her into my arms and sob into her hair. But I can't touch her. This is agony. Where is the fucking ambulance?
The girl! The girl!
Elizabeth suddenly pipes up. What girl? We all turn to look at her, prone on the ground.
Inside,
she says.
There, that building.
She points with her chin. Is this a trick? I hear Taylor's quiet command.
Sawyer, check inside.
In the distance, sirens wail. Thank God.
Taylor!
When I turn, Sawyer is standing in the doorway.
They have Miss Gray in here.
Stay here, Christian.
Taylor raises a finger in warning. Mia? My baby sister. Fear blooms in my gut. What has that fucker done to my sister? I watch, paralyzed, as Taylor disappears into the building, Sawyer regarding him from the doorway.
It's for you, for your family. Please, don't.
And what Anna said all becomes clear. I stare down at her, and I know in this moment that she could have been murdered by the sick fuck. Bile rises in my throat and time suspends until Taylor emerges from the building.
She's okay, I think. She's drugged, asleep. No obvious signs of injury or assault. She's fully clothed. I don't want to move her. We'll let the paramedics do that.
Mia? I ask, not quite believing the awfulness of this situation. He nods, his mouth set in a grim line. The sirens are louder. What the fuck was Hyde planning to do to my sister? He's still whimpering like a wounded dog. Quieter now, and I suspect he's lost a lot of blood. I don't give a shit. I want to kill him. Slowly, painfully. But two ambulances, two police patrol vehicles, and a fire truck pull up in a blaze of flashing lights and a cacophony of sirens, shattering the peace of the neighborhood and saving Hyde's skin. I'm in a waking nightmare, sitting between Mia and Anna in the ambulance as we speed through Seattle. My head is in my hands, my heart is in my mouth, as I pray for both of them. I'm not a religious man, but right now I'd do anything, even plead with God, to know that my wife, our baby, and my sister are okay.
Vital signs are good, Mr. Gray, for both your wife and your sister, the paramedic says, his dark eyes full of compassion.
My wife's pregnant. The paramedic looks down at Anna.
Sir, there are no obvious signs of bleeding. I pale, knowing that he's trying to reassure me, but it's not working. Why is she still unconscious? My voice is a whisper. The doctor should be able to determine that when we arrive. Mia stirs, mumbling incoherently. She's coming around. It's obvious she's been drugged, but at least she's calm. I grasp her hand and squeeze. It's okay, Mia. We're here. She mumbles something, but still hasn't opened her eyes. But she squeezes my hand in return and relaxes back into what I hope is sleep. My sister, my wife, my unborn child. I should have killed Hyde when I had the chance. Impotent rage curdles in my stomach once more, and I screw up my eyes, trying to dispel it. I want to weep. I want to howl to release this pain, but I can't. Hell, I'm wrung out. The last words I exchanged with Anna. You're leaving me? No. It's for you, for your family. Please don't. I told her I would always love her. At least I did that. Please wake up, Anna. Nagging me deep down is concern for the baby. Was Anna really ill, or did she make that up? This stress, fuck. It can't be good for him. Junior, is he okay? Finally, we reach the ER, and I'm immediately sidelined as the paramedics swing into action. Mom and Dad are there, waiting. They rush to the gurney, carrying my sleeping or unconscious sister. Grace takes one look at Mia, and tears spring to her eyes. She takes her hand.
I love you, baby.
She wails as the paramedics whisk Mia toward the double doors where Dad can't follow. He stands aside and watches as Mom follows them through into the ER triage. A nurse and doctor take Anna's gurney. Careful with my wife. She's pregnant. My voice is hoarse and hushed with worry.
We'll take good care of her,
the attending says. I release Anna's hand, and they wheel her through after Mia. Carrick joins me, ashen-faced, looking every inch his age. We stare at each other.
Dad,
I whisper, my voice cracking.
Oh, son.
Carrick opens his arms, and for the first time in my life, I step into them, and he holds me. I swallow my welling emotion and grip his jacket, beyond grateful for his quiet strength, his reassuring presence, his familiar scent, but most of all, his love.
It's going to be okay, son. They're both going to be okay.
They're going to be okay.
I repeat like a mantra, while my throat burns with my suppressed anguish.
They're going to be okay.
But he doesn't know that for sure. I just pray it's true. I pull back, suddenly conscious that we're two grown men hugging at the entrance of the ER. Carrick smiles and squeezes my shoulder.
Let's go to the waiting room. You can tell me what's happened, and we can get you cleaned up.
Sure. I nod and look down at my hands. Shit, they're still stained with that cocksucker's blood. Anna is pale, except for the bruise on her cheek where the motherfucker must have hit her. Her eyes are closed as if she's merely asleep, but she's still unconscious. She looks heartbreakingly young and small, numerous tubes wind into and out of her body. My heart clenches and twists in fear, but Dr. Bartley is calm as she looks down at my broken wife.
Her ribs are bruised, Mr. Gray, and she has a hairline fracture to her skull, but her vital signs are stable and strong.
Why is she still unconscious?
Mrs. Gray has had a major contusion to her head, but her brain activity is normal and she has no cerebral swelling. She'll wake when she's ready. Just give her some time.
And the baby?
I whisper.
The baby's fine, Mr. Gray.
Oh, thank God.
Relief crashes through me like a cyclone.
Thank God.
Mr. Gray, do you have any further questions?
Can she hear me?
Dr. Bartley's smile is benign.
Who knows? If she can, I'm sure she'd love to hear your voice.
I'm not so sure. She'll be mad. I thought she was leaving me.
My colleague, Dr. Singh, will look in on your wife later.
Thank you, I mutter, and she leaves. Pulling up a chair, I sit down beside Anna. Tenderly, I take her hand, glad to find it's warm. I squeeze it gently, hoping to rouse her.
Wake up, baby, please,
I whisper.
Be mad at me, but be awake, please.
Leaning forward, I brush my lips against her knuckles.
I'm sorry. Sorry for everything. Please wake up. Please. I love you.
I cup her hand in both of mine and press my forehead to my fingers and pray.
Please, God, please.
Bring my wife back to me. Anna sleeps, her room shrouded in darkness, save for the pool of light from her bedside lamp and the faint illumination from beneath the door. Using my jacket as a blanket, I doze in my chair, fighting sleep. I want to be awake when she comes back to me. The door opens, rousing me, and Grace enters.
Hello, darling,
she whispers, her face pale, devoid of makeup. She looks as tired and drained as I feel.
Mom,
I'm too weary to stand.
I'm just checking in as I'm leaving to get some sleep. Carrick is here to watch over Mia.
How is she?
She's okay, angry, still suffering from the effects of the drugs, trying to sleep. Anna?
No change.
Grace picks up Anna's medical chart from the end of her bed and scans the notes. Her eyes widen and she gasps.
She's pregnant!
I nod, too shattered and anxious to do anything else.
Oh, Christian, that's wonderful news. Congratulations.
She steps forward and grasps my shoulder.
Thanks, Mom. It's early days, I think.
I understand. Couples usually announce at 12 weeks. Darling, you're exhausted. Go home and sleep.
I shake my head. I'll sleep when Anna wakes. She presses her lips together but doesn't comment, and bending down, she kisses my head.
She'll wake, Christian. Just give her a little time. Try and get some sleep.
Bye, Mom.
She ruffles my hair.
I'll see you in the morning.
She exits as quietly as she arrived, leaving me more bereft than ever. Just to torture myself and also to stay awake, I replay my misdemeanors of the last couple of days. I've been an asshole. About the baby, seeing Elena, not apologizing. And to cap it all, I believed Anna, believed her when she said she was leaving me. My eyes droop and my head drops forward, jolting me awake.
Fuck.
I gaze at my wife, willing her to open her eyes.
Anna, please, come back to me.
And then I can apologize properly. Please, baby. Taking her hand, I bring it to my lips once more and kiss each knuckle.
I miss you.
Leaning back, I close my eyes. Just for a second. Friday, September 16th, 2011. I wake a moment later.
Shit. How long have I slept?
I check my watch. Nearly 3 hours. Glancing over at my wife, I see she's still slumbering peacefully. Except she's not asleep. She's unconscious.
Come back to me, baby,
I whisper.
Christian.
Dad!
You startled me.
Sorry. Carrick emerges from the shadows.
How long have you been standing there?
Not long. I didn't want to wake you. The nurse was just here checking Anna's vitals. It's all good. He stares down at my wife.
Grace tells me she's carrying my grandchild.
His eyes shine in reverence as he gazes at Anna.
Yes, she is.
Congratulations, son. I give him a bleak smile.
She put the child and herself at risk. I shiver, and don't know if it's because the night air is cooler or because Anna could so easily be dead. Carrick presses his lips together, his expression grave, then turns his attention to me.
You're exhausted. You should go home and rest.
I'm not leaving her.
Christian, you should sleep.
No, Dad. I want to be here when she wakes up.
I'll sit with her. It's the least I can do after she saved my daughter.
How's Mia?
She's asleep. She was groggy, scared, and angry. It'll be a few hours before the Rohypnol is completely out of her system.
Christ.
Hyde is a sick, twisted, cocksucking son of a bitch. I know. I'm feeling 7 kinds of foolish for relenting on her security. You warned me, but Mia is so stubborn. If it wasn't for Anna here...
We all thought Hyde was out of the picture. And my crazy, stupid wife, why didn't she tell me?
My unshed tears scald my throat. Christian, calm down, he says, gently moving toward me. Anna's a remarkable young woman. She was incredibly brave.
Brave, and headstrong, and stubborn, and stupid.
My voice breaks on the last word as I fight to contain my emotion. But what would have happened to Mia, if not for Anna? This is so confusing. I place my head in my hands, conflicted.
Hey.
Dad rests his hand on my shoulder. I welcome his comforting touch.
Don't be so hard on her, or yourself, son.
I'd better get back to your mom. It's after 3 in the morning, Christian. You really should try to sleep.
I thought Mom went home.
Carrick blows out a breath in frustration. She couldn't leave Mia. She's stubborn, like you. Congratulations again on the baby. That's some good news in all this mess. I feel the blood drain from my head. I'll never be as good a father as Carrick.
Hey, he says gently, you've got this.
And because I'm weary and despondent, I'm annoyed that he's diagnosed my anxiety so precisely. Perceptive, Dad.
You'll make a great father, Christian. Stop worrying. You have several months to get used to the idea.
He pats my shoulder again. I'll be back later this morning.
Good night, Dad.
I watch him quietly close the door. A great father, eh? I put my head in my hands. Right now, I just want my wife back. I don't want to think about the baby. I stand and stretch. It's late. I'm stiff and sore and heartsick with worry. Why won't she wake up? Bending, I kiss her cheek. Her skin is soft and reassuringly warm against my lips.
Wake up, baby, I whisper. I need you.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
What?
Again, I'm startled from my doze as the nurse opens the curtains, letting the golden fall light invade the room. It's the older nurse. I can't remember her name.
I'm going to check your wife's IV fluids.
Sure,
I mumble. Do I need to leave?
It's up to you.
I'll stretch my legs.
Feeling like shit, I get up, and with a last glance at my wife, I stagger out into the corridor. Maybe I can find some coffee. Taylor arrives around 8:30 with my phone charger and some breakfast, courtesy of Mrs. Jones. I wonder if it's a peace offering from her. One peek into the brown paper bag confirms that it is. 2 ham and cheese croissants. They smell divine. And I have a thermos of proper coffee.
Please thank Gail for me.
Will do. How is Mrs. Gray? He looks toward Anna, his concern obvious in the tight line of his jaw.
All signs are good. We're just waiting for her to wake up. I can't believe we spent last weekend at OHSU and this weekend we're at Northwest.
Taylor nods sympathetically.
You may as well stay and update me here. I don't want to leave her side.
I offer him the seat beside me. While I eat my breakfast, he recounts all that happened after the ambulances left the crime scene. and the police have recovered Mrs. Gray's cell phone.
Oh.
She placed it in one of the duffel bags with the cash.
Really?
I glance at my sleeping wife. That's genius. We were following the money?
Indeed.
Taylor responds, and it's obvious he's impressed with Anna's ingenuity.
The police have the cash.
It's the first time I've thought about the $5 million.
Will we get it back?
Eventually, sir. I roll my eyes. It's the least of my problems. I'll get Welch onto the police and let him liaise with them for the return of the money.
Hyde is here being patched up. He's under police guard, Taylor says.
I wish she'd finished him off. Taylor holds his counsel, and I remember him wrestling me off Hyde while I was beating that fucker to a pulp. I can't decide if Taylor's actions were a good thing or not. Hell, if he hadn't, I'd be in a police cell now.
Detective Clark would like a word with you at some point.
Taylor wisely changes the subject as I take a bite of the second croissant.
Now is not the time.
Ryan has collected Mrs. Gray's car. Apart from a parking ticket, it's all good. His smile is wry.
Sawyer's mad he let her get away.
I'm sure.
There are photographers camped outside the hospital.
Hell.
My phone buzzes. It's Ray.
Shit.
Ray, good morning.
I need to see Annie.
Ray has heard about Anna's heroics, courtesy of the media, and now insists on seeing her. As he's the only man in the world who intimidates me, I cannot say no. I dispatch Taylor, and 30 minutes later, Ray's sitting at the end of her bed in his wheelchair.
Annie,
he whispers as I wheel him in closer to her bed.
What was she thinking?
He says, his voice hoarse. He's shaved and is wearing loose shorts and a shirt, so in spite of the broken leg and bruising, he looks more like himself.
I don't know, Ray. We'll have to wait for her to wake up before we can ask her.
If you don't take her across your knee, I sure as hell will. What the hell was she thinking?
He's more adamant this time. Trust me, Ray, I just might do that. If she'll let me. I clutch her hand while Ray shakes his head.
She shot him, you know.
His mouth drops open.
The kidnapper?
Yes.
Well, I'll be damned.
Thanks for teaching her how to use a gun. Maybe you can teach me to shoot one day.
Christian, I'd be honored.
We both gaze at my headstrong, reckless, brave wife, each of us nursing our own fearful thoughts while Anna remains unconscious.
Let me know when she wakes up.
Will do, Ray.
I'll call Carla,
he mutters.
I'd appreciate it.
Thanks.
He kisses Anna's hand, his eyes glistening with tears, and I have to look away. When he leaves, I call the office, then Welch, who is in Detroit, following a lead on Hyde. He can't believe Hyde found someone to post bail. Finding out who and why they did is next on his agenda. He's going to call his contact at the Seattle Police Department to ascertain what they know. I pace back and forth in front of the window to shake off my fatigue as I talk on the phone and watch my wife. She sleeps through my calls. She sleeps through the frequent arrival of flowers from our family and friends. So by mid-afternoon, her room resembles a florist's. And she sleeps through their calls inquiring about her well-being. Everyone loves Anna.
What's not to love?
I brush her soft, translucent cheek with my knuckles, fighting the urge to cry.
Baby, wake up. Please, wake up and be mad at me again. Anything. Hate me. Whatever. Just wake up. Please.
I sit beside her and wait. Kate barges into the room without knocking.
Kate, hi.
She nods a greeting and strides straight to Anna's bed and takes her hand.
How is she?
I'm too tired for this.
Unconscious.
Anna! Anna, wake up!
Kate barks.
For fuck's sake. The tenacious Miss Kavanaugh is here.
I've tried, Kate. I've been assured that she'll wake in her own time. Kate presses her lips together.
She doesn't have the sense that she was born with.
I can't argue with that. She turns to me.
How are you holding up?
Her inquiry into my well-being is a surprise. I'm fine, anxious, tired. She nods.
You look it. You two make up?
I sigh. Not exactly. When she wakes, I trail off. Weirdly, Kate seems to accept this and doesn't give me a hard time.
So what happened? How did she end up here?
She folds her arms, and because it looks like I won't get rid of her any other way, I give her the executive summary of Hyde's kidnapping of my sister and Anna's heroic but utterly foolhardy rescue.
Shit,
Kate says when I finish.
What the hell was she thinking? She's supposed to be the smart one.
Yeah.
You know, Christian, she loves you very much.
I know. She wouldn't be here like this if she didn't. I clench my jaw in self-loathing for doubting her.
Tell her I was here.
I will.
Hope you get some sleep.
She gives Anna a last glance and squeeze of her hand, and then she's gone. Thank God. A knock on the door wakes me, and Detective Clark appears. He's the last person I want to see. I don't want to share my wife with anyone, not when she's like this.
Sorry to disturb you. I was hoping there might be a chance to talk to Mrs. Gray.
Detective, as you can see, my wife is in no state to answer any of your questions. I stand to greet him, feeling like shit. I just want this man to go. Fortunately, his visit is brief but informative. He tells me that Elizabeth Morgan is cooperating fully with the police. It seems Hyde had compromising videos of her, so he was able to coerce her into helping him. It was Morgan who lured Mia out at the gym.
Hyde's a twisted son of a bitch, mutters Clark. He has a serious grudge against your father and you.
Do you know why?
Not yet. I'll be back when Mrs. Gray wakes. She's safe here. We have Hyde handcuffed to the bed under police guard 24/7. He's not going anywhere.
That's reassuring. Will we get our money back?
Clark frowns. The ransom?
He smiles, briefly.
Eventually, Mr. Gray.
That's reassuring.
I'll leave you to rest, he says.
Thank you. I grimace at Detective Clark's back as he closes the door. Hyde is here, somewhere in this hospital, because my wife put a bullet in him. Anger surges through me again. I could find him and finish the job. He's under guard, Gray. I hope to God he's incarcerated for a very long time. Dr. Bartley returns.
How are you doing, Mr. Gray?
I'm fine. It's my wife I'm concerned about.
Well, I'm here to take a look at her.
I stand back and let her do her checks.
Why hasn't she woken? I ask. It's a good question. I would have expected her to by now. What she's been through was traumatic, though, so maybe she needs a little more downtime to process it all. Was she under any other stress?
Dr. Bartley gives me a direct look, and I flush, guiltily.
Well, the pregnancy? I keep my answer vague.
I have an idea that may bring her around, but it might take a while to see if it works. Besides, I'm not happy catheterizing pregnant women for a long period of time. It runs the risk of UTI.
Okay, sure. Do I need to leave?
It's up to you.
I'll go fetch some coffee. Out in the corridor, my phone buzzes. It's John Flynn.
Christian, I heard about Anna. How is she?
I sigh and give him the bullet point summary. She's expected to wake at any time. It's just...
I know. This must be hard on you. I'm sure she's in capable hands. I got a missed call from you the other day. I was at my son's parent-teacher conference.
Ah, the night of my transgressions. It would have been great if he'd answered the phone.
We'll talk next week?
Flynn asks.
Yes. If you need me, I'm here. Thanks, John.
Hello, darling.
Grace arrives during the evening, carrying a small cooler bag.
Mom,
She hugs me briefly, then scrutinizes my face, her eyes full of concern.
When did you last eat?
I gaze at her blankly while I try to remember. Breakfast?
Oh, Christian, it's after 8. You must be famished.
She strokes my cheek.
I've brought macaroni and cheese. I made it for you.
I'm so tired that the burning in my throat moves to my eyes.
Thanks,
I whisper, and in spite of the fact that my wife has still not surfaced, I'm hungry. No, I'm fucking starving.
I'll go heat this up. The nurse's kitchen has a microwave. I'll be a couple of minutes.
My mother makes the best mac and cheese in America, better even than Gail's. When she returns, the room fills with its mouth-watering aroma, and we sit side by side, and she chats aimlessly while we watch my beautiful wife, who stubbornly refuses to wake.
We took Mia home late this morning. Carrick's with her.
How is she? I ask.
Christian, don't talk with your mouth full.
Sorry.
I mumble, with my mouth full, and she laughs. For the first time in forever, my lips lift in a reluctant smile.
That's better.
Grace's eyes glow with maternal love, and I have to confess I feel more hopeful with her here. I finish the last forkful and place my plate on the floor, too tired to move any farther. That was delicious. Thanks, Mom.
My pleasure, darling. She's very brave, your wife.
Stupid, I mutter.
Christian!
She is. Grace's eyes narrow and she regards me speculatively.
What is it?
What do you mean?
Something's up. I mean, something other than Anna lying here unconscious and you being exhausted.
How does she know? Grace says nothing, her penetrating gaze doing all the talking. Silence fills the room, broken only by the hum of the machine monitoring Anna's blood pressure. Fuck. Interfering woman. It's no good. I crack under her scrutiny, like I always do. We had a fight.
A fight?
Yes, before all this happened. We weren't talking.
What do you mean you weren't talking? What did you do?
Mom. Why does she automatically assume it was my fault?
Christian, what did you do?
I swallow, and my throat burns with unshed tears, exhaustion, and anxiety.
I was so angry.
Hey.
Grace takes my hand.
Angry with Anna? Why? What did she do?
She didn't do anything.
I don't understand.
The baby, it was a shock. I stormed out. Mom grasps my hand, and suddenly I'm overcome with an urge to confess all.
I saw Elena.
I whisper, and shame washes over me like a riptide. My mother's eyes widen, and she releases my hand.
What do you mean, saw?
She hisses, emphasizing the last word with such scorn that it rocks me.
Did you sleep with her?
I recall Anna's question from when, yesterday, the day before. First Anna, now my mother.
Nothing like that. Fuck, Mom. Don't curse at me, Christian. What was I supposed to think?
We just talked, and I got drunk.
Drunk? Shit. Mom, don't you curse. It sounds wrong.
She presses her lips together.
You are the only one of my children that makes me use such vulgar language. You told me you would cut all ties.
Her glare is loaded with censure.
I know.
But seeing her finally put it all in perspective for me, you know, with the child. For the first time, I felt uncomfortable, more than uncomfortable. What we did, it was wrong.
What she did, darling? You were a child.
She purses her lips again and then sighs.
Christian, children will do that to you. They make you look at the world in a different light.
She finally got the message, I think. And so did I. I'm done with her. I hurt Anna. Shame douses me once more.
We always hurt the ones we love, darling. You'll have to tell her you're sorry, and mean it, and give her time.
She said she was leaving me.
Did you believe her?
At first, yes.
Darling, you always believe the worst of everyone, including yourself. You always have. Anna loves you very much, and it's obvious you love her.
She was mad at me.
I'm sure she was. I'm pretty mad at you right now. I think you can only be truly mad at someone you really love.
I thought about it, and she's shown me over and over how much she loves me, to the point of putting her own life in danger.
Yes, she has, darling.
Oh, Mom, why won't she wake up? Suddenly, it's all too much. The lump in my throat swells, choking me, and I'm overwhelmed. The fight, Anna leaving, nearly dying, Hyde, Mia. Fuck. And though I've tried to hold back my tears, I can't.
I nearly lost her.
The words are strangled and barely audible as I voice my worst fear, and the dam breaks.
Oh, Christian.
Mom gasps. She wraps her arms around me as I break down, and for the first time in my life, I weep in my mother's arms. For my wife, my broken wife.